Coming up on podcast 1226, Ford ready to spend $11 billion, create 11,000 jobs on brand new EV battery plants. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the show today, we talk about low Earth orbit satellites to help our electric vehicles. Tesla are selling their insurance in more places, and we update you on the Vietnamese EV that's coming. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It's Tuesday, 28th of September. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. My job to be your filter, a TLDR. Of the electric world. It's what I'm here for. And hello to a new member of the gang, the fam, the Patreon family. It'll be you, Eddie, an executive producer, Eddie Ragassa, signing up earlier today, adding your name to the show notes as well, like all of our exec producers and above level. Thank you. If you want to do the same, you can check it out. Or if you want to, you can wait until the first of the month because you don't get billed until the end of the month. So give it a week and then sign up and you get a free month, if you like, at patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. It's patreon.com. It's how we fund the show. It's how we stay independent and how, if I upset anyone with, you know, honest thoughts, it's fine. They can pull their sponsorship because we don't rely on advertisers. Let's start with Ford and the massive news. So huge. Ford and SK Innovation, that's the South Korean battery company, investing more than $11.4 billion in new US facilities. That's going to create 11,000 new jobs to make electric vehicles and batteries on home soil, says CNBC today. Well, Ford is building twin battery plants, lithium-ion battery plants in central Kentucky. They're doing it with a joint venture with the SK Innovation Company. The new venture is called Blue Oval SK, and it's a massive 3,500-acre campus in West Tennessee, saying earlier today. The campus will include another battery plant built with SK, a supplier park, a recycling center, an assembly plant for the F-Series trucks as well, all according to Ford's CEO, Jim Farley, according to CNBC. Think about it. Farley only really took over at Ford a year ago this week, and the Ford of 2020 and the Ford of now is such a different beast. Rewind 2 years, the Ford of 2019 and the Ford of 2021. Almost unrecognizable. It's been a massive organizational shift. I think we've seen the likes of VW do it first. They've been retooling their factories for years. They've been making these big investments. We've seen a lot coming from the likes, a lot of words from the likes of GM for years. But Ford were quiet. If anything, I think Ford were a little dismissive in their tone from the very top of the company down, talking about, well, we'll make hybrids for the next 5 to 10 years and petrol's going nowhere. And they had no real roadmap they boasted of, even if they had an internal one. They never really talked up their EV plans. And that changed when he took over a year ago. And it's amazing. And it's very, very cool. I'll pop a link to CNBC in the show notes if you'd like to read more. That is an amazing story. Well, production at the plants, aside from one of the battery plants in Kentucky, will begin in 2025, the company said. The second battery plant in Kentucky will come online in 26, according to Ford. All right, let's move on. And another huge story today. The electric vehicle maker Polestar looks like it's set to do a $20 billion deal with a SPAC company. These reverse mergers, it's been all the rage for the last 18 months in EV world. Here is your 10-second guide to a SPAC. So an organization, a company, decides to become public. They have no idea at the time what they will merge with, but they float and people buy shares in them. And then they've got 3 years to then go and find a company somewhere in the world to do a reverse merger with and to invest in that company. Therefore, the company they're investing in then becomes publicly listed. It's a way of trading on public markets without going through the whole IPO process, which is long and drawn out, and there's roadshows and investors. These special purpose acquisition companies, SPACs, tend to speed up the whole process. Well, now Polestar saying today it will go public by merging with a US-listed blank check firm backed by the billionaire Alec Gores and investment bank Guggenheim Partners, valuing the company at $20 billion. The deal will provide Polestar with $1 billion in cash out of the deal, including $800 million from the special purpose acquisition company. And according to Reuters, Polestar delivered about 10,000 vehicles globally last year. I mean, they're doing well, but they are still a small vehicle maker in the grand scheme of things. Polestar predicts it will rake in $1.6 billion in revenue this year, double that number next year. I'll put a link to Reuters in the show notes. Huge news for Polestar, which really, again, kind of came from nowhere. Of course, it was the performance bit of Volvo and their owners, the Chinese company Geely, really making some big investments in Polestar to get those products on the market. And great products they are too. Polestar 1 and 2 and 3 coming soon. And then they're going to get their return, aren't they? Wow, that's a mega deal. Hey, staying with Geely, who is the owner of that company, for now at least, the least expensive electric car in Europe. Well, let's ignore quadricycles like the Twizy and the Amy, or the Ami, as I meant to say it. The Dacia Spring is a proper car, and it's the cheapest in Europe. About 23,000 euros before incentives. So you can pick it up for maybe 12 or 14,000 euros in various countries. 3.7 meters long, 26.8 kilowatt hour battery, and 225 kilometers of range. Keep those specs in mind, says Kling Technica, because Geely are coming with the EX3. This is a 4 meter long electric SUV, has a 37 kilowatt hour battery, has 322 kilometers of range, but I think they measure it NEDC, I'll double check, and room for 5 people inside. The price. It sells for about 60,000 RMB. That is about 8,000 euros or 9,000 US dollars. 9,200 US dollars. Put it on sale, Geely. Put it on sale everywhere. If you can work out distribution, dealer, servicing stuff, put it on sale and see how cheap EVs sell. I think they might be surprised. These kind of cars, super interesting to me. I keep telling you, the Chinese invasion is coming. When you can get a cheap, if you don't care about the badge on the front of your car, if you get a car to a couple of hundred miles for 10, 15,000, that's absolute dead cert going to sell with a certain amount of people. Look, Dacia were nothing a few years ago. You go back 20 years ago and like Hyundai, Kia, really? You're going to buy one of those for £50,000? Yes, actually, I would buy an EV6 or Arniq 5, right? So it's amazing what a brand can do very quickly. I'm telling you, the Chinese cars are coming. When they arrive, don't say I didn't tell you. Zeekr is the premium bit of Geely, and they are going to release their mass-produced premium model, the Zeekr 001. And if they get it off the production line sometime mid-October, they will be on target. Deliveries will begin in China late October, according to a local media outlet. Their plant in Ningbo is well prepared, they say, for the impending volume production of the 001, says Monica from Gasgoo. She writes that Zeekr is pushing ahead with the construction of service networks, opening service centres in Chengdu, Hangzhou, Beijing, Shanghai and Guangzhou, and equipping them with service centre teams as well. I'll pop a link to Gasgoo in the show notes if you want to read more about that. And finally on Geely today, this story kind of blew my mind when I read it. Geely, parent of Volvo, parent of Polestar, etc., etc., are currently building low Earth orbit satellites to help their vehicles navigate with the highest level of safety and centimeter level precision when they're on automated driving. The first pre-production satellite has been called the LEO, and it's just rolled off their assembly line at their own satellite factory. Brilliant. It marks Geely's next steps towards full-scale production of commercial satellites to support their vehicles. As they're driving around, their cars will be checking in with their low Earth orbit satellites to say, oh, where am I? According to Future Car website, Geely was granted approval in February to launch a network of these satellites that it said would support vehicle-to-vehicle and vehicle-to-everything. You might see that called vehicle-to-X sometimes, or V2X, communications for self-driving. The cars will drive themselves, the cars will talk to each other, they'll talk to the street furniture, so the light will be like, hey, I'm turning red in 5 seconds, you might as well start slowing down now, and the car will go, alright, thanks traffic light, I'll slow down now, you're turning red in 5 seconds. The whole thing is slightly mind-blowing, But it's happening, and the satellites have been developed entirely in-house by a company called G-Space. That is a subsidiary of Geely. So they make cars and taxis and trucks, and they've also got a satellite company as well, which I didn't know until today, and I'm really, really tickled by. Watch this space. Right, coming up on the podcast very soon. Let's take it seriously. Come on. We'll go to Vietnam, or rather, Vietnam will come to you with their first EV being launched and a new compact van from Nissan. Stick around, it's on the way. Let's talk about Tesla, selling their car insurance in a new place next month, and that'll be Texas, offering their auto insurance to Texan drivers in October. The company plans to expand insurance availability to Texas, and this was first reported back in March. The Tesla will be selling the insurance in the state through their partner Redpoint County Mutual. S&P Global Market Intelligence noting that the Texan offer has been approved for the rates and the policies, according to Insurance Business Magazine, where I found this story for you. On September 22nd, somebody on Twitter, of course it's Twitter, tweeted Mr. Musk to ask about why his insurance was so high in New York, $500 a month, not a year, $500 a month in New York City to insure his Model X, and he tagged Mr. Musk in it, who did respond, saying that the regulatory process to offer insurance is, and I quote, extremely slow and complex. So there you go. It varies from state to state. And any of my Texan listeners that own a Tesla, that's an option for you very soon. I think it starts next month. Now, have you heard about the utter madness happening right now here, in terms of petrol and diesel shortages? I don't know even where to begin, or even if I want to begin anywhere. Petrol stations in many parts of this country are running dry. They started running out of petrol on Friday, and of course, we love a good queue. And so people saw other people queuing for petrol and diesel. And of course, the national newspapers. I can't believe we even have newspapers these days. What an outdated concept that is, printing something on bits of cut down tree that you take to a shop and then you go and buy. However, the newspapers, which are recognizing their diminished influence on the world, that kind of the Murdoch newspapers of the world, the Daily Mails of the world, it must really sting to know that they are 5 minutes away from obscurity. And so what they then did was all the front page news, and again, our TV networks, like the news, Sky News and stuff, they devote whole half-hour shows to reviewing the front pages of the newspapers, and nobody reads a newspaper anymore. So that's the maddening thing. They all went with panic, 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 panic buy, and over the last 3 days, this country went bananas. I mean, obviously I didn't, because we drive an electric car, and we've not been smug about it. In fact, I probably should offer any of my neighbours use of my car if they want it. It's fully charged. There's 200 miles on it. It's fully charged every morning. So this week, all of a sudden, people have perked up and gone, "Ooh, EVs, I'll have one of those." There's a story about a dealer in Guildford, in Surrey, outside of London. Martin Miller Electric Cars, they're called, and the Guardian newspaper reports on them saying that they have never had a busier few days. The diary is booked up with test drives, they say, and we are low on stock, according to the Guardian. While scenes of chaos are playing out right now at petrol stations across the country, as people are having fist fights over petrol and shortages for many EV dealers, the fuel crisis has created a bit of a silver lining, a surge in inquiries and sales. I must drop a line to one of the premium partners of this podcast, and that'll be Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. He's in New Milton, about half an hour from me. And last time we spoke, and we were talking about stock and how expensive used cars were, we caught up at Fully Charged, and he was saying, yeah, like the last thing you want to do at the minute is just have hundreds of cars in stock, because the used car market price is all over the place, and at the minute it's up, up, up. And so he was treading very carefully and just watching the market and just being very sensible about the whole thing. But yeah, I've seen EVs go for sale for huge amounts of money at the moment. That is also compounded by the fact that the London ultra-low emission zone has been expanded almost to the M25 in some places. And so lots of people are going, oh, look, let's get rid of our diesel and buy an electric car. So give Richard a shout if you want. He mostly sells Teslas, but he's got some other interesting things at the moment. And give him a shout at RSEV and see what he's got in stock. If you fancy grabbing yourself an EV. Well, next, we're talking about Vietnam and a Vietnamese car maker called VinFast, giving more details about their European strategy. Their first two electric cars are going to be called the E35 and the E36, and they're making their market debut in 2022, says electrive.com. VinFast develops and manufactures electric scooters and electric buses, but they're moving into electric cars, and they're concentrating on Germany, Netherlands and France to begin with. I presume UK would mean re-engineering it for right-hand drive, so we're not on the list, I imagine. According to Reuters, Italy, Scandinavia, Switzerland and Austria go on sale in 2023. Production of the vehicles for Europe will continue in Vietnam, and then they'll go on sale as well in the US and Canada at some point in 2022. Watch out for VinFast, you'll hear more about them very soon. Nissan are going to be talking about their new compact van, and it's called the Townstar, an all-new electric compact van. If you're familiar with the van scene over here, you'll realise it's not particularly new, says Inside EVs. It's actually a badged 2021 Renault Kangoo. Two powertrains, all electric or 1.3-litre petrol engine. Obviously, we only care about the EV. It is replacing the Nissan ENV200 here in Europe. And much like the Kangoo E-Tech, pure electric, it shares the same platform. The Nissan Townstar EV has a panel van and a combi van, in other words, passenger version. And it has a 44 kilowatt hour battery. You know what? Nissan could be so far ahead. They started with the Leaf. They had such a lead. And now what are they doing? Releasing a rebadged Renault Kangoo from last year? Man, something happened at Nissan. I don't understand it. Next, industry commercial charging has been a big hot topic for a long time now. I've told you in the past about the organisation Charin, with groups and EV makers and industry kind of players coming together to agree a commercial charging system for EV trucks. Well, this summer, the industry experts, the researchers that are part of Charin were meeting up and testing some of the solutions that they've been coming up with. And it was co-hosted by the NREL, the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, and support from the US Department of Energy and others as well. The first event was held last year, says Inside EVs. And once again, this year, they've been meeting up to agree a standard for commercial charging. Now, why is that important? Well, the goal is to develop a high-powered charger for heavy-duty vehicles. It's megawatt charging. Now, Tesla are part of Charin. And Tesla, when Charin asked for submissions of standards, I think there were, I want to say, three entries. I've not looked it up. And I think there were three or four, and Tesla were one of those. So what I really hope is that Tesla are part of that conversation, that they're part of that, you know, because it's so much better to be at the table arguing your case than doing your own thing. So ultimately, Tesla could walk away, and on the semi-truck, they could have their own plug and their own chargers, and that would be very Tesla. I really hope that they, for commercial solutions, that they stay part of this working group, and that whatever solution is come to, and I know that Tesla like getting their own way, and I understand that, but if they don't get their preferred system, I hope that they do go with this, so that there's one standard, there is one worldwide plug for EV charging at a commercial scale. And it's because if they do, it just makes the infrastructure so much better. I mean, maybe China won't be part of it because they're going sort of Chaozhi, which is like CHAdeMO next gen. But even so, I really hope this becomes the standard, whatever Charin pick. But what are they going to pick? They want to find something that will charge a battery in 15, 20 minutes, that has a power output of at least 1 megawatt. But they're looking at 3.75 megawatts of power. Now, we're talking about the best EVs at the minute charging at 270 kilowatts. We're talking about trucks here charging at 3,750 kilowatts. That's the target. 3,000 amp at 1,250 volts is their target. In a minute, on that kind of charger, in 60 seconds, you would add 62.5 kilowatt hours of energy. In 1 minute. In 5 minutes, you would add 312 kilowatt hours. In 20 minutes, you would add 1,250 kilowatts of power, of energy, to a battery. 3.75 megawatts in a single vehicle would be Well, that would be equivalent to the average power needed for about 3,200 US homes. It would transfer, if they agree this standard, and there's no reason why not, it would transfer the daily energy consumed of a typical home into a truck in 28 seconds. It's just amazing. And they're going to need truck stops where multiple trucks are charging all at once. Let's hope the high voltage bits of the grid are ready to play. This is going to be amazing. Love it. I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes. Right, question of the week with eMobilityNorway.com. If you have ever gone back to driving fossil power from EV, and that's fine, why was that? If you know someone that did, bought an EV, didn't like it, went back, what was the reason? And if that doesn't affect you, or it doesn't, you know, if that's never happened to you, then let's play a game and just imagine if you absolutely had to go back and drive combustion power again, what would be the reason that you did? What pushed you away from EVs? I want to try and identify some weaknesses here. And email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com. I'll read them out on Sunday. Thank you so much to all of the Patreon family, and that is a daily mention for our premium partners. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.